Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Who are you? Let me just ask you that again. Who are you? Maverick, mother, a lover, a big thinker, a civil servant, a teacher, an entrepreneur, a creative, a dad, a brother, a soul on fire? Are you an introvert? Do you know that you are the M that I am? A poet, a stranger to yourself, a loner, a goddess, a rock star in your industry? A bozo on the bus just like the rest of us? Are you a seeker? Do you know that you are a spark of God? Are you? Who are you? And why are you here? We are wired to want. Desire is divine, and this is why you're here right now. Feeling good is the primary intention. Foundation of a good relationship with intentions and goals is keeping in mind that the primary aim of setting and working towards those goals is to feel the way you want to feel. The external things we want to have and do and experience, those are your secondary goals, all of which will get you back to the whole cosmic point, experiencing your core desired feelings. Here's the diamond of it all. Knowing how you actually want to feel is the most potent form of clarity that you can have. And generating those feelings is the most powerfully creative thing that you can do with your life. It is your birthright to have your desires fulfilled. Every desire is a prayer. Desire is the underpinning of manifestation.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. It's always valuable for me when you take the time to tune in and turn up your inner volume, whereby we can really bring the light into the world rather than to serve another energy that might not necessarily make us feel so great or even others. So I hope today finds you well and in a great space. I have to shout out for anyone who happens to be available or around for the Stevie Wonder Tour. Please Google his tour and see really if you can go out there. A group of us went out at MGM and it was just rich. And it was powerful and it was uniting and it had so much community. There were people who were in their 80s, 90s, wheelchairs, blacks, whites, Asians, tall, short, tiny, smart. I don't know if they're not smart, but everyone came out. Everyone came out, and there was just love in the air. So really, go to Stevie Wonder's Life, Love, and Music Tour. It's called the Stevie Wonder Song Party. And let me tell you, the band, that music, everyone, was so enriching. We went back in time. And I think my most compelling moment was when Stevie paused and we all remembered Aretha Franklin, and Senator John McCain, two giants that have just left us, left their roles, and I know they're going to be back to play even greater ones. And the music, the reverence, the beauty. And Stevie left us with a life quote that really the quote that we must start living by right now is make love great again. That's all we need to do. It's time for us to make love great again. So if we can do that, we'll be completely on our way to rising up and living at our level of heights that I know we can. So let's take a pause and do what we do best here on the America Meditating Radio. And let's let go of any old and dark stuff that no longer belongs to us. Because it's in our hands to actually tame our moods, to make us feel better, to bring us up to that level of height of awareness and to live a fulfilling life. Here is Letting Go from Off the Grid into the Heart by yours truly. Take a deep breath. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling
as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time, welcome back, my America Meditating fans. That was Letting Go from Off the Grid into the Heart meditation CD by yours truly, Sister Jenna, which can be acquired on iTunes or Amazon. My goodness, have you seen the numbers on Amazon rising? Amazon and iTunes are like a planet of their own. So amazing what the thought of one person can co-create. We can amplify and empower so many lives, and we can also create destruction in many lives, and all of it is a part of the drama. All of it is moving our stories forward. All of it is beneficial and useful. And so we have to hold on to the good that's in us, to the best of who we are. And we can go through a lot of swings of feelings and emotions, things that we're not quite sure how to logically adjust in the way that we want to feel. Sometimes the outside forces of the vibrations of people's mentality, people's consciousness, hits us in such a way that we recognize, I need to be stronger here, because it makes no sense that I can walk into an environment and just adapt so much to being whatever that is, especially if it's not healthy. Of course, if the environment that you walk in is sacred, it's inviting, it's purifying, it's empowering, then take it in, you know, absorb it in, let it be you. But what if the environment is low, is dark, is backward thinking? Do you want that environment to really shape your mood and to bring you into that space, or do you need to raise your bar of vibration and influence? And that's the age that we're in. We're in this age of raising our vibration, in which we can't think the way average or negative vibrations think. We've got to start to think beyond it. What would love look like in the midst of hate? What would love look like when your dignity has been assaulted? That's when you're raising your vibrations. But when we keep living in the state of the victim or what this one did to me, they shouldn't have spoken to me like that. I was out with someone the other day and, you know, I'm a friend. So I think as friends, we should be given the permission to speak openly to each other. And there's one person that I know that, you know, he's just very, very focused on himself to such an extent that just all over his vibrational field that he's really self-centered. And I might have mentioned it, you know, to him and might have been, you know, two other friends in the room, but we were all in safe space. But it made him so angry. And the reason why it made him so angry was because it was true and he knew that. But the love in him wasn't ready to see that, even though he says, I love myself. I'm totally in love with myself. And I thought, but if you're in love with yourself, why are you getting so angry? Love people in love with themselves don't get upset. And that made it worse. Anyway, just to kind of highlight things that we're going through a lot, and we always need techniques and tools that can help us. And today, I'm very happy to welcome our guest. Sarah Hannah Silvenstein is a master herbalist, classical homeopath, a board-certified consultant, businesswoman, keynote speaker, wife, and mother of 7 children. She's regularly featured on TV news shows discussing how people can integrate alternative and conventional medicine, and she is a consultant to many pediatricians, surgeons, and midwives. She's also a guest lecturer for residents at New York area medical schools, and her new book is entitled Moodtopia, Tame Your Moods, De-Stress and Find Balance Using Herbal Remedies. Today we welcome Sarah Hannah Silvenstein to America yes. Meditating Radio. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you? I so look forward to speaking to you.
Same here. Tell us a little bit about how you became interested in alternative medicine and why is holistic medicine so important, especially now?
Well, I personally had a child that had allergies and eczema and very bad wheezing as a little baby. And I went to the doctor and I really wanted to follow their path. I wanted to be a good mother and do what was right. But my son was getting worse and worse, and one medication would have these kinds of side effects and another medication would have these side effects. And the question was, were the side effects more painful than the actual condition that he had? And I had been interested in herbal medicine for years before I had children. But when you have a child, there's this urgency to do everything correct. So after going from allergy specialist to allergy specialist, I started using herbs and homeopathy. And before my eyes, my son transitioned before my eyes from a unwell child to a well child that could go out and play and I wasn't worried about his skin getting infected and could run around at the park and breathe and finally take deep breaths. And I saw that herbs worked. So I had been a lactation consultant. I help women with breastfeeding problems. I also help deliver babies as a doula. And I had been trained in Western medicine. And I said, oh my goodness, if this is working for my son, you know, women have been breastfeeding for thousands and thousands of years before antibiotics and steroids. And I do want to say that antibiotics and steroids have their place in the world. We just need to know where to use it. And I knew that I had to go back and study formally if I was going to share the wisdom of plant medicine with my client.
Beautiful. It never fails. No, it has to hit us so closely for us to really dive or let energy take us somewhere where there are solutions. And our culture nowadays doesn't really lean us towards alternative medicine because maybe they think science is way advanced, and I will agree with that. However, you know, our ancestors really had natural cures. And I'm always thinking, how can alternative medicine, you know, holistic medicine with contemporary medicine actually find a balance to really create a completely healthy person? Have you ever had that idea or thought?
No, of course. When I do TV shows across the U.S., when I'm pitching segment producers, my line is, let's learn how to integrate alternative medicine with conventional medicine. So I tell my clients all the time, if you break your leg, go to the doctor, get an x-ray, go get a cast. But then that doesn't mean that we can't integrate an herb called comfrey leaf, which is going to help that bone knit. Hence, it's been called bone knit for thousands of years. So with my clients, and I do a lot of pediatrics and women's health, I'm like, great, let's go get a diagnosis. If we need that sonogram, let's get it. But that doesn't mean that you and I together can't use plant medicine, because plants are like food. The brain reads herbs as food. It takes what it needs and it dispels what it doesn't need out of our body. One of the downside to herbs is that it's best to take it 3 to 4 times a day, as opposed to Western medicine where you have to take a pill once a day. But here's how it goes. When babies are first born and they breastfeed 8 to 12 times in a 24-hour period. Then when you have a little toddler, they eat all day long. You'd never leave your house without a little bag of snacks for toddlers. So we are created to take nutrients into our bodies, expel them, take nutrients into our bodies. And I know people, I work primarily in New York City and Los Angeles in that fast-paced life. Besides the fact that people aren't breathing and meditating the way they need to, they're lucky if they eat twice a day, whereas it's really healthier for us to eat smaller meals throughout the day, and it's healthier when we are using herbs to take smaller amounts of herbs throughout the day. That's how we heal.
Great advice. Now, according to a 2017 study by the National Center for Health Statistics, 30 million Americans had taken antidepressant medications in the past month alone, and the usage by women was twice that of men. Why is this?
You know, so I just wrote an article on my book, Moodtopia, where I discuss this. So the statistics from my research, like yours, is 1 out of 5 people are taking psychotropic drugs. They are primarily being prescribed now by doctors that are general practitioners that have on the high end between 6 and 10 minutes to spend per patient. And what happens is what used to be common ailments like, I'm feeling a little sad, I'm having some insomnia, I'm feeling stressed, all of a sudden are medicated. And the problem with that is that most of these emotions are normal. Now, I'm not discussing people that have schizophrenia, people that have borderline personality disorder. These are conditions and the medications can be life-saving. Savers. And I want to repeat that because when I write these articles, there's always comments, well, these medicines can be lifesavers, and I agree. But when women and men come in my office and we discuss why they started taking these medicines, usually they were because they dealt with crisis in their life, like losing a job or having to move. And I'm not saying these things are not stressful. And again, breathing, meditation, centering yourself is so important. But these people then are under the delusion that what they're experiencing is wrong. And that's why I believe so many people are taking these medications rather than, wow, you know, what you're going through is so normal. You know, when women come in my office and they tell me their stories, I look them in the eyes, they go, oh my gosh, you're so normal. Like, I want you to know you're normal. Now, what can we do to alleviate that stressful feeling in your stomach, those headaches that you're getting weekly, that tension in your shoulders? And these women and men are enlightened to know that this is normal.
Great advice. So congratulations on the release of your new book, Moodtopia, as you mentioned earlier. And I would love for our listeners to know a little bit about what's the genesis of the book and how did you feel when that last page, you know, when the pen went down, or nowadays your fingers, you know, finished that last line in the book?
Well,
how was your mood?
My mood was vacillating between many, many different emotions at the time. So what happened was I had written this book proposal with a dear friend of mine, Susan Gallant, and the book publishing process is so complex. We could do a 3-hour story on that. But to make it short, we wrote a proposal. And shortly after that, my daughter was hit by a car, appeared to be fine, and a couple months later ended up in the hospital within an hour becoming a quadriplegic. And my gorgeous daughter in her 20s was laying in the hospital bed, completely paralyzed from the shoulders down. And as you can imagine, my life turned upside down. My mood was more than black. There's not even a color to describe my mood. And they told me that her prognosis was that she was never going to get out of bed. They were going to put her in a nursing home, and that was it. She was going to just be in that state. I mean, I went from sobbing in the hallways to walking through the streets of Manhattan with just a hope that someone was going to hit me by a car so I wouldn't have to watch my daughter go through this pain, from throwing up every morning, not being able to eat. And what happened after 3 weeks was I made a decision that my daughter had to get better, and I was going to do everything in my power to help her get better. And the amazing thing was her mind, she said she's going to get better, and she found the strength of more than a mountain lion. And what I started doing unconsciously was I started integrating everything I had written in that book proposal into our lives. And that book proposal became the blueprint of how I was going to be there for my daughter to allow her to heal. So I started spraying essential oils in my daughter's hospital room. And I want to let you know that she was there for 8 months because the hospital smelled horrible. And it just was the smell of death and sickness and sadness and medications. And the nurses loved the smell of our hospital room. And every day they'd come in to see what our room smelled like. And all of a sudden, our room, my daughter's and my, I lived with her 24/7 for 8 months, was kind of the center where nurses would come and eat lunch. They'd come and check in. And what happened, besides the fact that my daughter has a wonderful personality, and it's so charming, but the essential oils created peace and ambiance, and it was an inviting place to be, and subsequently my daughter got better care. And I put a big poster on her door that I wrote with my hand that said, "Do not enter unless you're smiling and in a good mood." And what I found was it made the doctors and the nurses stop and maybe take a deep breath and come in smiling. And I have to tell you that I fired nurses if they were in a bad mood. So what I started to do, can you imagine, was change the energy of that room, as opposed to that energy being one of sadness and depression and just dark. I brought in plants. I brought in flowers every day. I put pictures on the walls that were beautiful and good. Funny. I changed the energy so it became good. An energy of healing.
Because I believe in that. The environment does have a lot to do with the way that you feel and even the way that you heal. So now there's something that you do mention in the book about, you know, our intuitive self. I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. How can our intuitive self just have this sort of innate ability to help us heal? And, you know, because sometimes there's a little bit of a gray line between the intuitive self and the ego. Can you speak to that?
Yes. You know, in the book Moodtopia, I speak about the story of a woman that had just become an MD. And when I was speaking with her, she said, you know, when you become an MD, you're exposed to so much. You don't know where you're going to specialize yet, per se. So she got this job in a clinic, and she loved it. She really loved it. She felt it was going away very well. Maybe this was the direction she was going to go into. And then this new director took over, and everyone was saying how fabulous he was. He was going to turn the clinic around. It was going to be money-making. And she intuitively did not feel comfortable with this man. She intuitively did not feel that he was a good, positive person. And she took a big plunge. Even though she loved the clinic and she was a newbie doctor, she decided to leave the clinic. And within a couple months, the whole clinic turned upside down. The government came in. The doctors that were there were being, you know, inspected. And she told the story that if she didn't have the strength of her intuitive feeling, she would have had to go through a lot of really hard, bad times. So like your question, you know, there's the question between the ego, is this my ego speaking or this intuitive self? So if your ego is saying, wow, I'm going to make a lot more money, or wow, this is really going to boost who I am as a person, that could be from your ego. So you just asked me a question that I didn't answer properly, was how did I feel at the end of writing my book? And the question to me was, oh, wow, is Sarah Hanna going to be famous from this book? That was my ego speaking. My intuition was this book, Moodtopia, can give people the opportunity to learn about how herbs can help them emotionally. So that's one way to distinguish between your intuitive self and your ego. And, you know, a lot of times our intuition is knocked down by our parents, not consciously. Like I always tell the story, like you can be walking outside the door in New York with your mom and your mom looks down at you and says, oh my gosh, it's freezing, put on a jacket. And you're going, I don't really feel cold yet. You know, you're not saying that to your mom. And she's like, oh my gosh, and zip it up. up. So that little child's intuitive self could be, you know, I don't feel cold yet. I certainly will put this jacket on once I do. But because it's being knocked down by her mom, she tends to not accept and honor her intuitive self. So I do give step-by-step instructions or a guide, not instructions, a guide to help people tune back into that intuitive self, because they're going to make decisions in their life that are going to help keep their moods more stable.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful to hear. So is there a book tour on their way, or what's the latest on the book, and how can we find more information about you and the book?
Well, I did just do a launch in Los Angeles at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove, and I'm going to be doing TV segments across the U.S., and that's really exciting, because when I do TV segments, I always try to set up a speaking gig in the area, because I do love meeting people one-on-one. You know, whenever I speak, people always come up and tell me all their stories, and people, you know, I feel with social media, which I know everybody agrees, there's like a positive and a negative side.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the negative is that we have false friends and false likes. I mean, just because someone hits a like on our page doesn't mean that they even read what we wrote. And people really need to interact. You know, there is something about the energy of speaking with a person, especially if you take a second to take a deep breath when someone's speaking to you, taking a moment to make sure you're looking in their eyes and being an active listener, because people aren't really being listened to very much in this day and age. And I think that's a very important tool that we need to teach our children. I think it needs to be taught in elementary school, junior high, high school, reiterated again in college. I think that communication is an art and a skill that people need to learn.
Beautiful, beautiful way to end the story. So listen, congratulations on the book again, and thank you for joining us today, and thank you for leaving us with some, you know, useful tools. Now, before I let you go, what's the website that everyone can get a hold of you and information on the book?
Thank you so much. It's sarahchana.com. That's sarahchana.com. And I am on social media, and I try to interact a little more because I think that's important. And you can just put in the search bar my book, Moodtopia, and you'll be able to find me that way. Thank you so
Beautiful.
Much for taking time with me.
Same here, Sarah. All the very best. Take care.
Thank you.
Beautiful conversation with Sarah Hanna Silverstein. And if you want some more information, just go to Sarah Chana, you know, sarahchana.com, and get a copy of her book, Moodtopia. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. So let's increase that. Let's create more love in the atmosphere and be the best that we could possibly be. I'm going to end today's conversation with Yuval Ron and one of his latest featured music called Pandit Nayan Ghosh. Take care, everyone. Thank you. I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or on iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.